Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the editorial review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Social Security private accounts when we come back. You know, a $10 pizza has a 38% tax on it, and a Budweiser six-pack has a 43% tax. A fifth of Jack Daniels is taxed 72%. Governments tax us all, and they tax anything that wiggles, moves, or squirms. But what is it the government is doing for us to produce, to prepare, or to deliver, for which the government gets paid 38% for a pizza, 43% for a beer, or 72% for a drink? Does the guy in the pizza parlor make a 38% profit on the pizza that he has to buy the ingredients to make, then prepare it, then cook it, then serve and pay rent on the store that you sit in to eat it? Now, why does the government get paid more in tax than the people who actually produce, prepare, and deliver the goods and services that we buy? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call the law school? The number's 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, educational, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status, the school is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, just go to the website georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Click onto that email and then send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, this is the last program in a series that I did or have been doing here on a book which is written by Paul Begala. It's called Is Our Children Learning? Paul Begala is a Democrat. He is a radical left-wing liberal. That's not a derogatory statement. After all, he has an opinion. He has a right to express it. I don't share the same views on everything. I share the same views on some things, not everything. And through this series of programs, I took on several issues, the last one here being Social Security and privatization. And my criticism of the liberals on the left is that while they came up with Social Security in 1935, it didn't add up mathematically in 1935, and it doesn't to this day. And it's evidenced by the fact that the tax, which began at 1% back in 1935, is now 15% today, which is 15 times greater at the same time that the number of people paying into the program compared to the number of people drawing out of the program, which was 80 to 1 in 1940, 45 to 1 in 1945, 16 to 1 in 1957, is down to 2.64, I think I worked out last time, as of 2005, and headed lower. The system has been broke from the day that it was created because it's a Ponzi scheme. So I took a look at George Bush's concepts, and his concept is privatization. And the numbers that he's advanced, both in the first election in 2000 and just recently, they don't add up either. So when the Democrats come along and say, hey, these numbers don't add up, I agree. I added up the numbers, and I couldn't make the George Bush program agree either. Let me give you a couple of more numbers here from the George Bush program and from the concepts that are being espoused by George Gordon. Now, I gave you some numbers in the last program, and I said, you know, if the government would give you 8%, just let you have 8%, and you invested it 5% compounded for the same 40 or 45 years, you people would do three times, two times, and just about as well as Social Security. with half as much money. You could do three times, two times, or just as well. So my concept is, you know, we'd be better off if we just let you have your own money. Of course, the argument from the elitists, and I call the Democrats the elitists, the Ted Kennedys and Dianne Feinsteins, these are the people who say that you're too dumb to manage your own money, and they're probably right. They're probably right. You are probably too damn stupid to manage your own money. But I think that you should have the opportunity to choose. And then if you come to the conclusion that you're too damn dumb, let them manage it for you. And for those of us that think we're too damn smart, let us manage our own money, and then let's see where we come out. And if I'm starving to death and I don't manage my money properly, that's my hard luck, isn't it? I made the wrong choice. And I think that's what freedom's all about. Freedom is about making wrong choices. Making wrong choices. And I want the right to make my own choices, right or wrong. I know, I'm a radical that way, but that's the way I see it. Now, if you're a middle-income worker, this is where I left off last time. If you're a middle-income worker, this is where your average blue-collar worker fits in. You're going to earn about $35,000 to $40,000 a year. So if we use the same formulas, you're going to be paying about $5,600 to $6,000 a year in payroll and withholding taxes. Now remember, this 16% is half from you and half from your employer, who won't be paying you as much as he would otherwise be paying you to make up for all of the money that he has to send in your name to the federal government. Now take a look at the amount of self-employed person has to pay, and you'll see that it's double what a non-self-employed person pays. And invested in U.S. savings bonds at 5%, this means that over a 45-year period, you're going to end up with a principal balance of $894,000. Now that's about $900,000 at 5% compounded annually, which would yield $44,000 a year at $3,700 a month. Now remember, as a middle income guy, you're only going to get about $837 a month. If you had invested the whole 16% for the same 40 or 45 years, you'd be getting $3,700 a month. 8, 16, 24, 32, that's four times more money. Four times as much. Now, I'm almost prepared to say that for that kind of difference over there, even if the egalitarians believe that you and I are too damn dumb to manage our own money, why don't we let them manage our money for us and invest the money into the national debt? After all, there's lots of it. There's no shortage of national debt. And George Bush promises that there's going to be a whole lot more national debt. And all of that debt has to be serviced. So instead of letting the Federal Reserve, unions and foreign governments earn the 5% off of those treasury bonds and bills, why don't we, the Americans, take that debt at 5%? I mean, we got to finance it anyway. We might as well make the interest off of it, and the interest off of that debt would more than finance Social Security. More. And do a hell of a lot better job of doing it, because you got to pay both ends anyway. You got to pay the debt, you got to pay the interest on the debt, you might as well pay the interest on the debt and then put that interest on the debt compounded over the years and then take it back in your retirement. Now, of course, that mathematically won't last forever either, and that's why I say these Ponzi schemes are nowheresville and the Democrats don't seem to have a solution for it. What they're suggesting, and this is what I've seen so far, is raise taxes. That's all I've heard from Ted Kennedy or Paul Begala or anybody else. They do raise taxes. And I pointed out to you a couple programs ago, okay, you've started doing that. You went from 1%. You're now up to 15%. That's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16. Okay, the next doubling is 32. Then the next one is 64. And the third doubling from where we are today is 128. And I would predict that long before we reach 128% of everything that you create and produce, you're going to give up and quit. I don't think that we can stand another doubling from 16% to 32%. And that's where we're headed if you're going to finance this thing by constantly raising taxes. Now, that's what you've done so far. but it can't go on forever. That's the bottom line. So President Bush, to his credit, says, let's have private accounts. But, you know, President Bush, I don't think, is being totally forthright either, because he wants to give you a little bit of it, but he doesn't want to give it all to you. And he doesn't want to give you a choice either. At least if he is, I haven't heard that yet. So I don't think either one of these plans is very workable, and I don't think either one of them is very fair. But he goes on to say, Social Security is going to take $5,600 a year from you over the next 45 years, whether you like it or not. This comes to about $252,000, so when you retire at age 65, you'll be eligible for payments of $804 a month, or a total of $96,480. So if you lived to the average age of 75, now you've paid in a quarter of a million, and you're going to be paid about $100,000. That means that the government's going to give you back 38 cents on the dollar. So as I said before, the more you make, the worse Social Security looks. Now, of course, listening to me right now, you're probably saying, well, I love Social Security, and God bless FDR. Okay. Then you're a person that wants to stay in the program. You want to pay in $252,000 and get $100,000 back, and I don't blame you. My God, if that's the way you want to live, that's the way you want to invest your money, and that's what you're looking forward to in life, I don't see any reason why I should get in the way of your happiness and success. What I'm complaining about is that you want me to pay in $252,000 of my money and get $100,000 back, when I could pay in the same $252,000 and get nearly a million back. I don't like your economics, partner. And I don't like your police state tactics, and I don't like your coercion, no matter what your politics are. I don't like your economics. I don't like your politics. I don't like your coercion. Let me out. Fortunately for all of us, we can get out anytime we want. It's just that when you get out, you're going to be a loser because you're not going to get the money that you paid in. Now, I paid in, you know, from 1950 to 78. See, 60, 70. Was that 28 years? Yeah, I paid into it from 50 to 60, 60 to 70, and 70 to 78. I paid into that thing for 28 years, and I left it all behind. But in the long run, the amount of money that I lost in Social Security was just a pittance compared to what I made when I finally woke up and got out of the damn thing. And you can do the same thing. President Bush, though, is suggesting under the Bush proposal, you'd end up with $560 a year to invest privately. I say $560 a year is chicken feed. $5,600 a year will make you a wealthy man. But $560 a year to invest, well, this is better than before, and it can allow you to set aside a nest egg of about $89,000 when you retire. If you invested it at 5% compound interest, you'll still be over $66,000 down from what you paid in or were made to invest. And remember that a 10% cut in your Social Security check is coming into play as well. So that means you get $9,648 less from the government over a 10-year period and raises your shortfall to about $75,000. The chances of you being able to raise the average return from 5% a year over a 45-year period to 10% a year over that same period, especially if you're untrained, is close to zero. So while Bush's plan makes things better, it's a matter of moving it from catastrophe to merely disastrous. Now, that's what my numbers tell me. Now, of course, I'm not a PhD. I'm just an old country boy. I'm just an old businessman, an old farmer. But, you know, I make money off of what I do. And I want to point out to you that while I've never been to college and I don't have a PhD and I've never been elected to government office, and therefore I must be a dumb. I'm not drawing Social Security. I make more than 5%, and I wouldn't get out of bed for $1,000 a month on Social Security. And I haven't had a student come to my school that I haven't told him these words. Listen to me carefully. As old George Bush, old Poppy, used to say, watch my lips. Now, if you're making less than $100,000 a year, and if you have average intelligence, I mean, if your IQ can crack 100 or 110 or 120, you know, you're not mentally retarded. Now, if you're mentally retarded, I don't know if we can help you, but if you just got average intelligence and you're making less than $100,000 a year in today's dollars, these inflated fiat currency dollars, today in 2005, you're wasting your time. I cannot imagine getting up in the morning and going to work for less than $100,000 a year. I wouldn't do it. I just flat wouldn't do it, and neither would my wife. And she's an old lady, just like I am, an old man. We wouldn't do it. We never did it in our working lives. And I can't for the life of me understand why you young people out there want to work in the trades or in employments for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. I got to tell you a little story here. I had a guy come in here one time. He was a laser physicist. Laser physicist. He worked for the University of California. And he was under contract to the U.S. government at Alamogordo, New Mexico. This guy had a security clearance that would get him into Area 51. He had a security clearance that he could get into places that the President of the United States cannot get into. Surprising as it may sound to many of you, the President of the United States does not have a very high security clearance. He gets reported to, but he can't get into these places. Well, anyway, moral of the story was this guy makes $80,000 a year. $80,000 a year. He's a laser physicist. And you say, wow. Furthermore, there's only 30 of these guys in the world. 30 in the world. And he gets paid 80 grand a year. Boys and girls, I'm a high school dropout and I get paid better than that. I'm telling you that a high school dropout ought to make 100,000 a year. This dependence on Social Security is a travesty. Now, I know that these do-gooders out here are sitting here saying, you know, like Paul Begala, he's a nice guy. I'm sure he is. And if Paul was here, I'd say, you know, Paul, I think you're a nice guy. I don't agree with some of your conclusions, but let's go have lunch. Let's go have dinner. President Bush, he's probably a nice guy. And I sure like his wife, Laura. I like his mother. I really liked his mother. I thought she was a great lady. She's the one that said, you know, I wear a size 4. She was talking about Nancy Reagan. And she says, Nancy Reagan wears a size 4. Well, I just want her to know that I wear a size 4, too, on my right thigh. can't take it away from a lady with a sense of humor now. I mean, all these are nice people, and I'm sure they mean well. But you know, boys and girls, down here at the bottom line, you know, these politicians and these college professors that come up with these neat ideas like Social Security. I'm not sure these people have ever been out in the real world. Paul Begala points out that George Bush has been a pampered preppy in all of the Ivy League schools, and he has never accomplished anything in his life because it's all been handed to him. I think Begala is exactly right. I mean, you know, Bush went to Andover, Bush went to Harvard, Bush went to Yale, Bush, you know, and his old man was President of the United States, and you take a look at his business career, you know, there's nothing that sets him out as being a J. Paul Getty or a Donald Trump. But, you know, here he is, President of the United States. And I'm sure he's got a lot of good people around him who are good advisors. And these people go to college. But honest to God, boys and girls, I don't believe these people have ever met the payroll on Friday. What I'm looking for is some guy that can meet the payroll on Friday, do the percentages, and come up with a plan that actually balances. Now, insurance companies can balance the plan. Remember, I told you that. The insurance company, when you give your money to the insurance company, your $5,600 a year, to Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company and so on. That's where I used to get my money. But 5% a year, boys and girls, is chicken feed. It just keeps you even because All that does is pay the inflation rate over 40 years. We're in this to make money. And I'm sitting here telling you, you know, if you've got some money and you want to invest it, you should be making, you should be doubling your money every year. My wife, if I gave her $5,600 and I said, occupy to my, till I come, next year when I come back, she will have bought, sold, and traded and doubled that $5,600. Doubled in 1 year. And she's just a girl. Can you imagine what you could do being a boy? Now, listen, if girls can do that, I think us boys can do even better, can't we? I mean, nobody'd want to admit that a girl could outdo him now, would he? All right, but I don't think that these politicians, and I don't think these academians over here have their finger on the pulse of reality. But the insurance company does. The insurance company will take your money. Your insurance company will invest it. They will buy the Empire State Building. They will do the arithmetic. They will do the numbers. And when it comes time to paying you off, they will pay you that 5% compounded over time. They'll pay it because they're earning it. They've got it invested. Social Security doesn't do that. And the Bush program doesn't go far enough. It's a step in the right direction because, as I've pointed out to you, these private accounts, if you had this amount of money and you wanted to retire and you just operated on 5%, you could do it, and you could do it big time. And the numbers work out. I mean, hell, I went through this with you in this series of programs. I just take your Texas Instruments calculator and follow the numbers just like I instructed you, and I think you'll come to the same conclusion I did. Now, and for you professionals and others in high income brackets, guys that are making money, $38 an hour or more, $76,600, you'll be putting in $11,658. By the time you reach retirement, you'll have $500,000 paid in. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you dentists and doctors and chiropractors and et cetera, you know, you're paying your Social Security taxes on $75,000 or $80,000 a year. You're going to pay in $500,000 to Social Security. You know what you're going to get back? About $100,000, about $1 out of every $5 that you paid in. Now, surely you people are smarter than that. I just can't believe that you people go to college, get degrees after your name, go out there and operate in a doctor's office or a lawyer's office, and you haven't taken the time to do the arithmetic on that. I did the arithmetic, just made me mad as hell. That's what I thought of it. Well, anyway, that's what you're paying in, $500,524,000. Investing that money in U.S. savings bonds at 5% interest over a period of 45 years would give you a principal balance of $1,861,000. That's $1.8 million, boys and girls. It would yield you $93,000 a year just at 5% interest. That's $7,757 a month. That's 7 times what you're going to get from Social Security under the best circumstances. Social Security is going to give you $1,200 a month. Hell, you'd have $7,700 a month coming in just off the interest, and you'd never have to touch your $1,800,000, you professionals. And listen, there's millions of you people out there. Surely you people are smarter than I am, a crummy high school dropout. Huh? Come on. Come on, boys and girls. And I told you I wouldn't get out of bed. I wouldn't get out of bed for that paltry piece of trash called Social Security, $1,200 a month. You know, I'm 65 and old enough to draw Social Security. I went to my school reunion a couple of years ago, and that's all they wanted to talk about was their retirement and Social Security and how much you kind of get. I told them, I'm not going to get anything. I opted out of the program years ago, and I'm going to work until I die. I said that in the last program. Did you know Moses worked until he died? He was 120, was working the day he died. There isn't anybody in the Bible that ever retired. Not a one. Abraham lived to be 175. He was working the day he died. Retirement is not something that's scriptural. And Social Security, which is also limited liability, is unscriptural because the Bible teaches strict liability. Strict liability, not limited liability. Social Security violates several of the Ten Commandments and many statutes of the Scriptures. It's a criminal activity. And the reason that it pays so poorly and robs you so handsomely is because it's a crime. And it's a penalty that we're all paying, or we all used to pay, if you're still in it. We all paid because we broke that law. There's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. George Bush comes along, instead of saying to us, look, Social Security is a criminal activity, let's get out of it. He comes along and says, oh, I know how much you people love Social Security because it's the most popular social program. You bet. It's a socialist, communist program. It is the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto. Now, when I was a practicing communist, I didn't have very good results from that. When I got out of practicing communism, I've had better results from that point on. I was a practicing communist up until 1978. In 1978, I began a long, slow transition from 78 to 84, about 6 years, a long, slow transition from communism back to private property. And I haven't been a bit sorry about it, and now I'm not retired. I'm working every day. I just work my little heart out every day and have a great time doing it. Because it's work, work, boys and girls, that gives satisfaction in life, not retirement. But you know, having enough money to do the things you want to do, you know, why don't you go out and work, but instead of working 8 hours a day and punching a time clock, why don't you get up in the morning and work a couple hours and then go out and do something you want to do and come back and work a couple hours? Or sometimes, you know, I work hard for 2 weeks and then I take 2 or 3 weeks off. I know it's a wild new idea, but how would you like to be free and independent and working in your own business, and then you want to take a week or two or three off? You can do that. Well, there's quite a few people in the world that do that. I mean, it's not millions and billions, but, you know, there's quite a few of us out there that have discovered that property and gold and silver and just weights and balances and the Ten Commandments and the laws of God are a little better program than communism. Social Security now, by contrast, is going to pay you $1,150 a month. So you're getting it at $1,200 a month, you doctors, lawyers, and professionals, for being such a generous donor to the program. This means that if you live to an average age of 75, you're going to collect $138,000. Now, let's remember that you just finished paying in over $500,000. You know, if you thought the low-income worker who got back 66 cents on the dollar or the middle-income worker who got back 38 cents on the dollar was bad, you'll be getting back 26 cents on the dollar. So as I said at the beginning, the more you make, the worse Social Security looks. The more you make, the worse the program is. So if you're going to be in the Bush proposed program, you'll be able to invest about $1,200 a year, and you can build up a nest egg of $186,000 if you invest 5% compounded annually. And the reason I use the 5% mark is because you don't have to have any brains at all. You could be mentally retarded, for crying out loud, and get 5% return. I mean, if your IQ is down around 85 or 90, I think you could probably invest your money in U.S. savings bonds, couldn't you? Put your money in the bank? Doesn't require a hell of a lot of intelligence, you know, to invest it. And Bush is going to give you a little bit of that money back. Surely you people that are in the high income brackets making $100,000 a year are a little smarter than that. I mean, you got to have IQs. Hell, even if you're as dumb as social lady in school, marm, you got to be smart enough to make 5%. And that's what the president is trying to offer you. Invest your money in the stock market because it has an average return of about 5%. You know, I never have invested in the stock market because there's no money in it. Of course, I never lost any money in the stock market either. I think Begala hit the nail on the head here. I think that President Bush is going to hand a windfall over to the Wall Street bankers. He's going to take your Social Security money and let you invest it in stocks and bonds. But he's going to be a nice guy about it. He's going to let you choose which brokerage firm you want to invest in. It's kind of like your insurance on your automobile. They want to give you freedom of choice. See, they come along with the police power of the state and say, you're going to buy insurance, and if you don't, we're going to punish you. But we'll let you choose who you want to buy it from. That's the new meaning of freedom in America. You don't decide whether or not you want insurance. Your guardian, your government, will decide that for you. We, the egalitarians, we, the politicians, we, the guardians, know what's good for you, and therefore thou shalt buy insurance. But you can choose who you want to buy it from. I think that's what the president is offering here. He's gonna let you choose which brokerage firm you're gonna buy from, but thou shalt buy stocks and bonds. Well, if that's the choice that you're going to give me, count me out. I don't want it. All right, let me give you a reminder here. We're about the halfway point here in the program. The Law, where an editorial review brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events from the scriptural perspective 7 days a week. The sources of information that we use on this program are believed by us to be true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. We check these things out. We do the best we can. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program. That's why I'm giving you credit here for Paul Begala. And while I'm at it, let me tell you where you can get his book. I recommend it. I don't care if you're a flaming radical liberal or you're a right-wing reactionary John Birch conservative or something in between. I think this book is worth buying. It's $12. And I want to tell you right up front that this is a liberal publication. Liberal. I mean, this guy is a flaming red-headed liberal. Why, he'd make Rush Limbaugh puke his guts out. And I'm going to recommend the book because it's instructive. It's instructive. And it's published by Simon & Schuster. It's $12. It's not a very big book for $12. I mean, you know, if you're looking at pages, it's about 150 pages for $12. Is Our Children Learning? by George Bush. Is Our Children Learning? That must be a statement that George made at some point in time. God love him. George Bush speaks our language, doesn't he? So keep in mind that the endorsements, though, or the recommendations that we do give, do not mean that the authors or publishers or publications so endorsed or recommended are going to reciprocate. This guy, Paul Begala, is probably going to say, that Gordon is a right-wing radical lunatic fringe fanatic, and I wouldn't listen to his program if you paid me. So just because I'm recommending Paul's book doesn't mean that Paul is going to recommend me. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, or they're religious, or they're economic, or sectarian, or they're racial, or they're ethnic. They're some kind of partisans whose viewpoint I don't recommend, and I don't endorse, and they don't endorse me, and they don't recommend me. So now we understand each other. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this radio station. But as Rush Limbaugh would say, they should. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to the website georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. Now, we got about half an hour left, so let's talk about what does the Bible say about this thing of Social Security and making contracts with the state and so on. Well, over in Revelation 13, verses 16, 17, and 18, listen to this statement about the mark of the beast. I think this Social Security is the mark of the beast. That's my personal feeling. That's my belief. That's what I think. That's why I wouldn't have anything to do with it. Now, I'm sure that Paul Begala would sit over and say, you know, that Gordon's a right-wing, reactionary, crazy, lunatic, religious nut. Well, okay. You know, Paul, you're entitled to your opinion, whatever it might be, and I'm entitled to mine, and I'm expressing my opinion. That's why I pay for radio time, so I can get my opinion out there and tell you. In Revelation 13, starting in verse 15, it says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Well, that doesn't sound very good. Getting killed doesn't sound like it's very kind and gentle to me. "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." You can't buy, sell, or trade in commercial business in the United States without this mark of the beast. And you know, the federal government under George Bush, under the Patriot Act and Homeland Security, has a new federal driver's license in the mill. Oh yeah. And biometrics, they want to take a look at your eyeballs and issue you government ID. And guess what your number is going to be? Now you guessed it, it's your Social Security number. Now that's one. Okay. Now, if you want to stick with Social Security, get after it. Don't let me get in your way. But in Exodus chapter 22, there's a little bit more said about this. And it has to do with a thing that's called limited liability. You see, limited liability is insurance. It's where you pay a premium and you get a lot more back than you paid in. Now, in insurance, when 100 of us pay in a premium, we all know, don't we, that the insurance company isn't going to pay out the full maximum benefit to all 100 of us. They're going to pay that out to about 5 or 10 of us. That's the difference between insurance and Social Security. See, Social Security says you pay in $500 and you're going to get back $18,000. That's a Ponzi scheme. The insurance company says you pay in $500, and if you're one of the few people that have an accident, then we're going to pay you $100,000. That's insurance. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. Insurance is something different. And Social Security ain't insurance, boys and girls. But here's the way God worded it. He said in Exodus 22, verses 28 through 36, he says, "If an ox gores a man or a woman, and they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit, free, non-liable. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it has been testified to his owner, and he has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death." Woo! That doesn't sound too kind and gentle either. That's called strict liability. That means that if I've got a bull out here in the field and I know that bull is mean, I got to do something about it. I can't buy homeowners insurance and then sit back and let the bull kill you and then say, "Well, go collect from Mutual of Omaha." That's limited liability. Under strict liability, if I know I got a mean bull out there, I got to be responsible for that and take care of that and protect you from him. I know that's a wild new concept. Verse 30, "If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he has gored a son or has gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done to him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if the man shall open a pit, or if the man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, then the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another's that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox has used to push in times past, and his owner has not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own." So, if I'm driving down the highway with my automobile and I don't have insurance, which is what this law prescribes, and I run you off the road and cause you a damage, I got to pay every damn dime of it. So some real smart guy came along one day and he says, gee, you don't want to pay for somebody else's damages. Let me pay for it. You give me this auto insurance premium and I'll collect this auto insurance premium from everybody. And so the insurance companies went out and they got the police power of the state to make all of us buy auto insurance premiums. Now here's what this boils down to. You all have auto insurance and you all real concerned about and you all know that there's the possibility that you could have a $1 million wreck, which is just about as rare as hitting the lottery for $1 million. Because of every dollar that the insurance company takes in premiums, they pay out 11 cents. 11 cents. The average automobile wreck in the United States costs $1,835. That's the average price of an automobile wreck. Some of them are $1 million and some of them are $250. On average, they're $1,835. And for that, you're paying your premiums. I'll bet you you're paying, in some cases, you people are paying more than $1,835 a year. And do you know how often you're going to have an automobile accident? Once every 25 years, you're going to have an automobile accident, statistically, on average. All right. Now, that's called limited liability. Social Security is limited liability and violates the strict liability or negligence statute of Exodus 21, 28 through 36. But there's more. Over here in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 35 and 36, it says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter, in weight, or in measure. Just balances and just weights, a just ephah and a just hin shall you have. I'm the Eternal your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, in order to pay Social Security, did you notice that you're paying your Social Security on unjust weights and balances? That is dollars, Federal Reserve notes, commercial paper. And George Bush is suggesting to us that we take this money and invest it in stocks and bonds. More unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, 35, and 36. I think that George Bush is suggesting to us that we take a part of an illegal activity called Social Security and invest that in another illegal activity called the stock and bond market. I don't think that's a good idea, boys and girls. I think that Social Security is one crime too many. Adding a second crime to it, I don't think, is going to be very profitable. If you want to do it, get after it, but leave me out. Now, there's another factor that comes in here. And that is taxes. Now, a tax is obeisance that you do to your master. Jesus never paid taxes to the Roman government. He paid his tithe to God. And he said plainly in Matthew 6:24 that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. And I don't believe he did. And he said that he didn't. I don't have any reason to disbelieve him. But in Malachi 3, verse 8, God gives us a little instruction here concerning this tax. Now remember that Social Security is a tax, income tax is a tax, all of that money goes into the general fund. Remember that? Remember that little lesson? In verse 8 it says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you, God? And he answers, in tithes and offerings. And he says, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. You bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Eternal of Hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's the IRS, by the way. They devour your incomes. And he shall not destroy the fruits or your ground, and neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Eternal of Hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Eternal of Hosts. All right, now God says, if you pay me my tithe, that's my 10%, I'll open the windows of heaven and I will pour you out a blessing. Now I tell my students when they come in the door, I say, you got tax problems, do you? Can't make ends meet. Your credit cards are maxed out. Uh-huh, and you lost your job. All right. Those are all of the economic penalties that you're paying for violating these laws that Moses gives. Social Security is a penalty that you're paying. It's a curse, not a blessing. Now, if you're making less than $100,000 a year, you're wasting your time. But you can't make $100,000 a year when you're taking a third of everything that you make and give it to the government. You know, you can't make ends meet paying interest on your credit cards at the rate of 15 to 27% per annum. That's not a blessing, that's a curse. You need to get out from under these curses, boys and girls, and pay attention. There's money to be made out there. But when I was a practicing communist, I couldn't make ends meet, and I couldn't pay my bills either. So as long as you people are practicing communism, I don't think you're going to have any greater success than I had when I was practicing communism. It didn't pay me. But once I quit practicing communism, then things started to straighten out for me, and now I can tell you that I think you should be making $100,000 a year, unless you're mentally retarded. Now, if you're mentally retarded, that's another story. Over here in Matthew 6:24, here's the statement I made a little earlier. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and he'll despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't practice Social Security and income tax and practice private property and tithing at the same time. You can't practice public business and private business at the same time. Or if you can, I don't know how to do that. Didn't work for me when I tried it, and so I gave up on trying to practice public and private business. I just got the hell out of the public business sector altogether, went into private business. Now I deal with gold and silver coin. I'm on a gold standard. I stopped practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and went back to practicing the 10 principles of our Bill of Rights. I went back to practicing the 10 commandments. I know it's a wild new concept, but give it a shot. And it takes 36 months for you to start. Now that's assuming that you're at zero COD. Now most of you people are buried so damn deep, it'll take you a while to get up to daylight. I mean, you're buried underground. You got to get up to zero. That's where you're debt-free. I teach a class on business. So I'll show you how to get debt-free if you want to learn. Debt-free, that's where you start. And then from debt-free, it takes you 36 months to put $100,000 in gold in a hole in the ground. $100,000 in gold in a hole in the ground. How much is that? Let me just run this off my trusty Texas Instruments calculator. $100,000 divided by, and the other day I saw the price of gold was at about $425. That would be 235 ounces of gold. You should have 235 ounces of gold buried in a hole in the ground in 36 months practicing the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Get the hell off of communism, and I think you could do it too. Yeah, if you got an IQ of around 100. Now God tells us in Exodus chapter 20, this is the Ten Commandments here, you shall have no other gods before me. Gods. Well, the United States of America is a god. The United States of America is a sovereign. The United States of America is a police power. They make laws and put you in jail if you don't pay your Social Security and income tax. That's why you need to get the hell out of Dodge when it comes to income and Social Security. You need to learn how to get out from underneath that curse. Now, if you want to worship the United States of America and practice the laws of the United States of America, that's fine. That's no problem with me. But when I did that, I was as poor as a church mouse, and I couldn't make ends meet either. And I'm not surprised that you're having these problems, because idolatry produces poverty. When I was an idol worshiper, I was poverty stricken. When I quit worshiping the United States of America, in California, Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, things started to turn around for me. And I predict that they will turn around for you. As long as you're practicing idolatry, I don't think it's going to work well. Then in verse 15, you shall not steal. Social Security is a theft. It steals from the working class and transfers the money to the bureaucratic class. who take their cut, and then down here at the bottom are these elderly people that it's designed to help. And they get what's left over. And that's why you old people out there, you know, you paid in $5 and you're going to get a dollar back. You paid in $3, $2.73, and you're going to get a dollar back, you blue-collar workers. And then you low-end guys down there, you metal retards at minimum wage, you paid in a dollar and you're going to get back 68 cents. The mentally retarded do better than those of us that can add and subtract. And those of us that are blue-collar workers do better than the smart guys that got degrees from college. How do you like that? And then in verse 17, this is Exodus chapter 20, talking about the Ten Commandments. It says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that's your neighbor's." And so the old people that the AARP are coveting and lusting after the incomes of the younger generation, and they want that money transferred from you, young people, to us, the old people. That violates the intent or coveting statute, the theft statute, and the idolatry statute. Social Security violates three of the Ten Commandments. And when I was participating in the violation of the Ten Commandments, it didn't work out well for me. And I doubt that it's going to work out any better for you. All right, now here are these statutes. Let me just run them off for you. Matthew 6:24, Malachi 3 verse 8, Exodus 20 verse 3, Exodus 20 verse 15, Leviticus 19 verse 35 and 36, Exodus 23 verses 32 and 33. Oh, gosh, let me turn to that one. Because the president over here wants you to sign contracts now. He wants you to get involved here with the stock and bond market over here. And in Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33 is kind of instructive because it prohibits doing that. It says here, "You shall not make, you shall make no covenants with them nor with their gods, and you shall not, or they shall not dwell in your land lest they make you to sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it'll surely be a snare unto you." There's four statutes like that. Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2, Exodus 34, 10 through 17, Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5, and this one here in Exodus 23, 32 and 33 says you're not to make these contracts with these foreign and alien gods. Social Security requires that you make a contract or an application, so they don't call it a contract. Oh, they're very careful about that. See, if you had a contract, you'd have a property right. Well, now here's what a contract is, boys and girls, and you decide for yourself what this is. A contract is an offer, number one, with an acceptance, number two, over time, number three, with consideration, number four. So it's an offer with an acceptance over time with consideration. Now, that's what Bouvier tells me a contract is. Let me see what this breaks down to. Social Security makes an offer to you. You accept it by going in and signing up. Over time is the rest of your life, and the consideration is the Social Security taxes that you're paying in. All right, now is that a contract? Now, don't let me get in the way of your conclusion. Now, you just figure it out for yourself. My brain tells me that's a contract. God told me not to make a contract. So I did. I went out. I was 11 years old. I went down. I made a contract with the United States of America over Social Security. And then I had to pay Social Security taxes. And from 1950 to 1978, they took that money. And when I finally woke up to what was going on, they took it away from me and I lost it all. I mean, I lost big time. I lost all the money that I put into Social Security. So when God told me not to make covenants and contracts with foreign and alien gods, he was not whistling Dixie through a straw hat. And I was the proximate cause of my own injury. I went down voluntarily and signed up, just like you did. And I got screwed, blued, and tattooed in the process. And then I woke up one day and I said, hey, I think I'll opt out of this thing. And I did, and it paid off handsomely. Once I got out of the damn thing, hey, listen, everything that I lost was replaced. Let's see, how much did I replace it with? 153. 153 divided by 12 is 18 times. All right, so I've been rewarded by 18 times what I lost. So remember, in Malachi 3, verse 8, God said, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, I had a curse from Social Security for the first 28 years, and then when I got out of Social Security from 1978 to 2005, how long is that? 27 years. I got 18 times what I lost. So I think God, in my case, paid me off fairly handsomely. Now somebody's going to say, yeah, but Gordon, you're a pretty smart guy. Oh, I don't think so. Now, I'm just kind of an average run-of-the-mill Joe Sixpack. High school dropout, but I can make $100,000 a year. And I don't have a degree from college, and I ain't paying Social Security and income tax. And when I was paying Social Security and income tax, I couldn't make $100,000 a year. Now, how do you like that? And I don't think that you can either. I'll tell you a quick story here in closing. You know, the Department of Labor traces and does studies and spends your tax dollars so they can tell you where your money is going and how much money people are making, so they can lie to you and convince you that their programs are good. Well, anyway, up in Hartford, Connecticut, they took a look at people that make $100,000 a year. They took a zip code up there and said the average up here is $100,000 a year in this zip code. And so they traced it out, and when you're making $100,000 a year, when you get all through paying all of your fixed expenses, you got $20,000 left over. $20,000, boys and girls. Think of that. $20,000. We call that mad money in the trade. $80,000 of it goes out to paying your house payments and credit card payments and car payments and taxes and interest and all the rest of the crap. You're making $100,000 a year, and $80,000 of it is frittered away, but you get $20,000 left over. Well, listen, I practice the law of God. I practice the Ten Commandments. I practice tithing, and I stop practicing communism. Now, in order for George Gordon to live the $100,000 lifestyle and net $20,000 of mad money, I got to make $40,000 a year, which is just about what any electrician or carpenter makes. Now, if you're an electrician or a carpenter and you're making $40,000 a year, if you do that in private business, you could live like the guy that's making $100,000. If I could make $100,000 a year, I'd live like the guy that makes $500,000 a year. Think of that. That's what Social Security has done to us. Remember the book Paul Begala wrote, B-E-G-A-L-A, Paul Begala. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Paul. Is Our Children Learning? Radical, left-wing, flaming, liberal Democrat. So don't blame me for that. Published by Simon & Schuster. Price is $12. I think you'll be glad you bought it. And I think Paul will be more than happy that a capitalist, religious, right-wing, reactionary fanatic recommended his book. All right, I'm about out of time here, boys and girls. We're going to have to close it off right about here. Remember, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's my signal. I get that in my ear. Says time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing. So until then, good night, friends.